Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you so much, worship team. Can we let the worship team know how much we appreciate them? What a blessing. And folks, what a blessing to be here at Columbia International University. It's been my joy. It's been my delight to be with you for just a few days. I have greatly, greatly enjoyed meeting you, and I'm excited about what Jesus is doing in your life. I travel and I pastor a church, and then I serve as the president of a denomination, so I oversee churches. And so I'm constantly in churches. I mean, just about every day or every night, I'm in a church. And when I go into a church, what I love to do is I love to take their bulletin. I love to get their bulletin, and I like to look for typos in the bulletin. And just through the years, I've literally collected hundreds and hundreds of bulletin typos. And let me give you some of those. This was actually in a church bulletin. It said, "For those who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs." I like this one. It said, "The choir will meet at the Larson home for fun and singing." Now this was on a church sign. I can take you to the place I saw this on a church marquee. It said, "Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help." This is the last one. I'll get into the message. This was on the outside. This was on the marquee of a church sign. "Sermon for Sunday. What is hell like?" And below it was, "Come early and hear our choir sing." Oh, man. I want you to take your copy of God's Word, whatever you have, iPhone, iPad, Bible, whatever. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. Can we do that? We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and I want to call your attention to chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1, a book that was written 700 years before Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what Isaiah 6 and 1 says. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 one for God, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." The Bible says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it up on my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see not indeed, but perceive not. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us and through us. I pray that you will meet the needs of this wonderful group of people. May you continue to bless this great university. Now, God, we trust you for exploits, for I pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Until you come, we pray. Amen. I want to take a few moments in this last message, and I want to talk to you about what should happen when we go to church. What should happen when we go to church? I am convinced that many times some strange things happen when we go to church. I've been pastoring a lot of years, and there was a time in my ministry I would preach, and I always go to the back door. I always go to the back door on Sunday, and I stay till the last person leaves. You say, what is your motivation for that? I believe that a shepherd ought to smell like sheep. I believe that a shepherd ought to smell like sheep. I don't want to be ostracized. I don't want to be disconnected from my people. I want to be with my people. So I stand at the back door and I shake everybody's hand as they leave. One lady came out the door one day and she said, Pastor, that was a warm message. I said, that's great. Thank you so much. The next Sunday she came out the door and she said, Pastor, that was a warm message. God bless you. The third week she came out the door and she said, Pastor, that was such a warm message. I said, that's wonderful. But I said, wait, can I talk to you just a minute? You come out the door every Sunday and you say, that was such a warm message. What do you mean that was such a warm message? She said, well, not so hot. Sometimes some funny things happen in church. This right here, this incident happened in our church not too long ago.
This is Oscar. Mr. Oscar, upon your profession of faith, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in his likeness.
Oh, Lord. We're going down.
Baptize me. We're both raised to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord.
Folks, can we agree that sometimes some funny things happen in church? Now, let me say as groundwork for this message, we ought to go to church. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to encourage every one of you to be involved in church. You ought to attend it, you ought to commend it, you ought to defend it, and you ought to extend it. Everybody ought to be involved in a local church. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, as it was Jesus' custom, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I want to encourage you, young people, to be actively involved in church. Now, this is what I've realized. Do you realize, folks, if you'll be actively involved in church, you'll be healthier. You say, what do you mean, Brother Benny? You'll be healthier. 20% of fatal accidents, automobile accidents, or 20% of fatal accidents happen in an automobile. 17% of fatal accidents take place at home. 14% of fatal accidents take place when you walk on the street or sidewalks. 16% of fatal accidents take place when you travel by air, train, or water. But listen to this. 0.001% of people die in church. The church is a safe place. After preaching all these years, 34, 35 years, I've had one person to die in church. It was one of those churches that was kind of lifeless anyway. You've been there. Icicles in the pews and a snowman in the pulpit. You've been there. A lifeless church. One man died. The paramedics came, carried out 14 men before they got the right one. Now listen. You're healthier. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. You're healthier if you go to church. But let me tell you this. You're happier if you go to church. You're twice as likely to have a happy home if you go to church. Thirdly, you're holier if you go to church. Somebody said to my pastor, wait, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but if you are a Christian, you will want to go to church. I don't have to go home to be married, but in both cases, I won't have much of a relationship. God wants you. God wants me. God wants everyone to be actively involved in a church. A guy gets up one morning, he says, Mom, I don't want to go to church. I don't like church. The church don't like me. She said, you need to go to church. He said, Mom, I don't want to go to church. He said, give me 3 good reasons why I ought to go to church. She said, well, first of all, God wants you to go to church. Second of all, I want you to go to church. Third of all, you're the pastor and you need to go to church. William Gladstone was the prime minister of Britain on 4 different occasions. And William Gladstone said these words. He said, you tell me what the young men and women of England are doing on Sunday morning, and I'll tell you what the future of England will be. You tell me what the young men and young women in America are doing on Sunday morning, and I'll tell you what the future of America will be. Because only 20% of Americans actually go to church. Only 20%. Now you say, Pastor, what should happen when we go to church? What should happen when we come to chapel? What should happen right here at Columbia International University when we have convocation, when we have chapel, when we have service? There's 4 things that I'm convinced from the Word of God ought to happen. We should see the Lord and be comforted. We should see the Lord and be comforted. Let me tell you something. Young people, the life that pleases God is often painful and difficult. The life that pleases God is often painful and difficult. I know you hear the happy clappy preaching that everything's just going to be wonderful if you live for Jesus. But I've got a Hebrew word for that. Baloney. Baloney. Many times if you live for the Lord, you're going to have struggles, you're going to have adversity. But when we come and worship God, we should see the Lord and be comforted. Now the Bible says in the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah, that word Uzziah literally means Yahweh is my strength. And he was the king of Judah for 52 years. He became king when he was 16 years of age. Can you imagine a person being king for 52 years and the stability that that must have brought? But Isaiah said, after 52 years of ruling and reigning as king, there must have been a lot of instability. And he said, Uzziah was no longer on the throne. But he hastened to say, but I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord on his throne. And what I want to say to you, when we come to God's house, we ought to see the Lord on the throne. And it ought to comfort us to know that no matter what's going on in our lives, God is still on the throne. And God is still in control. And God is still sovereign. And he's still the King of Kings. And he's still the Lord of Lords. I want to encourage you, when you come to a worship service, to see the Lord and be comforted. I want to encourage you, when you come to a worship service, don't see the pastor. I want to encourage you, when you come to a worship service, don't see the praise team. I want to encourage you, when you come to the worship service, see the Lord on the throne and realize we have gathered here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nothing else, nothing more. See, God is looking for something. You say, Pastor, what could the Lord be looking for? Look at John 4 and 23. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is seeking worshipers. God, young people, is seeking worshipers. Now, I don't understand everything about the Bible. But I do know in the eons of time when God laid the foundations of the earth, according to Job, the angels were there with him and they sang. And there were three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Lucifer was the leader in worship. He was the leader in worship. He was the worship leader. The name Lucifer means light bearer. He wasn't the light, but he reflected the light. And the reason why he reflected the light, young people, the scripture tells us there in Ezekiel, again, I don't totally understand it, but in Ezekiel 28 and 13, he had 12 different stones in his body. He had emeralds and topaz and sapphire. I don't totally understand it, but it was in his body. And the Bible says he had pipes and organs. He was the worship leader. But you know, he failed. The worship leader failed. And worship was lost. But in Exodus chapter 28, God established the priesthood. And if you look at the high priest, he had those same stones in his breastplate. What was God doing? God was restoring worship. God was restoring that which was lost. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." What was lost? It was worship that was lost. And through the priesthood, God restored worship. Now, Revelation 1 and 6 says, "He's made us kings and priests." He's made us kings and priests. It must, young people, it must torque the devil. It must chap the devil when he sees us today doing what he was created to do. It must torque the devil when he sees us earthly people doing what he was created to do and becoming worshipers. What does God want you to be? God wants you to be a worshiper. What is worship? Worship is expressing your love to God. Now get this. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 17. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 17. "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Get this. No worship, no rain. Say it with me. No worship, no rain. No worship, no rain. No worship, no rain. Now, look what Job 36 and 27 says. "For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down the rain according to the vapors thereof." The vapors create the clouds. The clouds get heavy and they drop the rain. When vapors of praise go up, oh mercy. When vapors of praise go up, his presence comes down. When vapors of praise go up, young people, his presence comes down. Now, I want you to do something with me. Whatever you send up comes down. Whatever you send up comes down. Now take your hand just like mine. All right, wake the guy up beside you. Take your hand just like mine. Let's do this. Take one finger. You can do it too, Brother Jim. Take one finger. Okay, hey, you're doing one finger. One finger. Oh, it's good. I am so proud. I was speaking at school the other day. They couldn't do this. No, they couldn't do it. Look, okay. Now let's increase it. Look, let's go two. What about two? Can we do two? Listen to that. Let's increase it. Let's go three. What about it? Three. Can we go three? Well, can we go three? Okay. All right. Brother Bill, I'll tell you what. Why don't we just go all of them, folks? Why don't we just go all of them? What I'm saying to you, what you send up is what comes down. Young people, I want you to realize what you send up determines what comes down. When we offer up vapors of praise, his presence comes down. So I want to encourage you, when you come to chapel, you see the Lord on his throne and you be comforted. Oh, let me tell you something else. We should see the Lord and be comforted, but we should see the Lord and be convicted. We should see the Lord and be convicted. Now you gotta look at what's going on here, folks. The Bible says that in verse 3, the angelic host are crying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy." holy, holy, holy. I mean, literally. He said, when I came into the presence of God, I saw the Lord high and seated on his throne. I saw the angelic host. I saw all this was going on. But look, folks, we live in this culture where the church growth gurus will tell you, we want everybody just to be comfortable at church. We need we want everybody to be comfortable. Young pastors, if you're considering going into the ministry, come up real close. Here's what God's called you to do. He's called you to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Where did we ever get this thought that church is just supposed to be so comfortable and nobody ever gets challenged and nobody ever gets reproved? No, wait. Isaiah said, I came into the presence of the Lord and I saw the Lord high and lifted up. But look what he said in verse 5. But he said, I said, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. He said, wait, folks, let me tell you something. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was off-color jokes. I don't know if it was gossip. I don't know if it was profanity, but apparently he was doing things with his lips that he shouldn't have been doing. He was saying things that he shouldn't have been saying. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 29, young people, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit with our tongue. I don't know what was going on. I don't know. But there was something going on. I heard about a guy that was driving down the interstate and he was going about 85 and the police officer pulled him over. And he came to the window and the police officer said, sir, you were going 85. He said, no, I was going 70. I've got it on cruise control. And his wife, Martha, said, we don't even have cruise control on this car. And he said, Martha, can you keep quiet? And the officer said, sir, I see you don't have your seatbelt on. And he said, well, I took it off right before you walked up. And she said, Harry, you never wear your seatbelt. He said, Martha, would you shut your big mouth? And the officer said, ma'am, does he always talk to you like that? She said, only when he's been drinking. I don't know what the issue was. I don't know what Isaiah's issue was, but apparently it was with his mouth. It was with his tongue. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, folks, when we come to God's house, young people, I'm almost done. No, I'm not. I'm almost done. When we come to God's house, if you get finished before I do, just slip out. When we come to God's house, we ought to see the Lord on the throne and be comforted. But when we come to God's house, we ought to see the Lord and be convicted. There's nothing wrong with conviction coming on your heart. There's nothing, young people, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with God dealing with your heart about something and you making your way to an altar of prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right about that. When we come to God's house, we not only should see the Lord and be convicted, but we should see ourselves and be cleansed. We should see ourselves and be cleansed. Look what verse 6 and 7 says. It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. Now remember what his problem was? tongue and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. I want you to understand something. I said, Pastor Benny, can a Christian sin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But you can't sin, get by with it. Because the Holy Spirit will deal with your heart. But I've got good news. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ did not come to rub your sins in. He came to rub them out. He came to rub them out. And when we come to God's house, we should see ourselves and realize that we can be cleansed. That God is willing to forgive us. Just as he purged Isaiah's sin with his tongue. God purged it. God took it away. God can take away yours. See, here's when we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we think we have nothing. We've arrived. But there's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. And today, we don't need to worry about the people around us. We need to focus on what's God trying to do in my heart. What's God trying to do in my life? I gave this illustration, young people, in Brooklyn, New York. I was preaching there a while back. I think it went over their heads. My wife and I used to have a clothesline. My wife would hang the clothes out on the clothesline. Now, do you all know what a clothesline is? Raise your hand if you do. Sure, these people do. They didn't understand in Brooklyn, New York. They didn't understand. And I just didn't understand. But I heard about this couple that got up one morning. They were having coffee, and the wife said to the husband, our neighbor needs to learn how to wash. The clothes on the line, her clothes on the line are dirty. And the husband said, okay, I guess she does. They get up the next morning, they're having their Maxwell house. And she said, our neighbor needs to learn how to wash. Her clothes are hanging on the line and they're dirty. Husband said, okay. The next morning they get up and she says to her husband, she learned how to wash. Her clothes are clean. The husband said, no, she didn't learn how to wash. I cleaned our window. I cleaned our window. And see, folks, many times we're worried about somebody else's wash. Many times we're worried about Sally's wash or Bob's wash. When we ought to focus on our window. When we come to God's house, we ought to see the Lord and be comforted. When we come to God's house, we should see the Lord and be open to him convicting our hearts. When we come to God's house, we ought to see ourselves and say, I can be cleansed. But let me give you the last point and I'm done. When we come to God's house, we should see others and be concerned. Look what verse 8 says. Notice this. It says, I heard the voice of the Lord. Now wait. Young people, I want you to get this. In verse 6 and 7, he was purged. The sin was forgiven, right? Barbara and I could not have children. And I used to travel and preach this message. Let me tell you, young people, this was the message. 10 surefire steps for raising the healthy, productive, godly child. People would come down to the altar and I'd pray for them. 10 surefire steps for raising the healthy, productive, godly child. And then they'd come down the altar and I'd pray for them. But then I had a child and I changed the message to 3 things you might want to try. They may or may not work. But my wife and I couldn't have children, so we adopted a girl, Savannah Abigail. And when we adopted Savannah Abigail, they told us her biological father was deaf. And they said, always watch her hearing because her father's deaf. So I remember there was one day Savannah was walking away. She was walking like down that aisle. And I said, Savannah Abigail. She kept walking. I said, Savannah Abigail. She kept walking. I said to my wife, I said, she inherited that from her father. She's going to be deaf. Scared, we took her down to the doctor. The doctor laid her up on a table. He took a little device. It was like it was percolating. And he took this water and he put it down in Savannah's ear. And I don't want to gross you. I know it's right before lunch. Why would a guy do that? But stuff started coming out of her ear. Started coming out of her ear. And I said, Savannah! She said, Daddy. I said, Barbara, she's not deaf. She just had all that junk. She just had all that junk. Now get this, young people. In verse 6 and 7, Isaiah was purged. But in verse 8, he said, I heard the voice of the Lord. Many times when we've got all that junk in our lives that needs to be purged, we really can't hear what God's really wanting to say to us. We really can't experience what God wants to do in our life because we've got all that junk that needs to be purged. Lastly, we should see others and be concerned. In verse 8, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And I would encourage you, when you come into God's presence, you look around you and you see others who are not there that need to be there. And realize, as Caleb comes to the piano, Christ has no hands but your hands to do his work today. Christ has no feet but your feet to lead men in the way. Christ has no tongue but your tongue to tell them how he died. Christ has no help but your help to bring men to his side. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking. No one looking. I wonder how many today, I'm just going to follow what God's placed on my heart. I wonder how many today would say to me, Pastor, I'm here at Columbia. But I got to be honest. There's things in my life that needs to be purged. May not be your tongue. Maybe your attitude, maybe a vice, maybe a secret sin, maybe malice, maybe strife, maybe anger. But I'm here today. And Brother Benny, there's things in my life that needs to be purged. Things that needs to be purged. I want you to pray for me. If that's you, hold your hand up real high. Hold your hand up real high all over the sanctuary. All over the sanctuary. All over the sanctuary, hands are going up. All over this sanctuary, hands are going up. All over the sanctuary. You can take your hands down. I wonder how many would say, Pastor Benny, you got to that last point. You said we need to see others and be concerned. I've got friends and family members that I'm very concerned about. And I need to be more impacting in their lives to try to reach them. Pray for my friends and associates and family members. If that's you, hold your hand up real high. Real hands up all over. Hands up all over. Take your hands down. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm right with Christ. I don't know that my heart's right with Christ. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm at peace with Christ. And I just want you to pray for me. If you'd like prayer today, hold your hand up real high where I can see it. God bless you. 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 Listen to me very closely. If you raised your hand that you don't know you're right with Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess them to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord. Come into my life and forgive me. Now, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for coming into my life. If you prayed that prayer with me, hold your hand up real high. Hold it up real high. God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless. Tons of people. I want every one of you to stand. Every one of you to stand. Every one of you to stand. Every person's going to stand. We're going to start singing in just a minute, Caleb. We're going to start singing. Every person is standing. Every person is standing. Every person is standing. Every person is standing. Young people, listen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's been many times I had to kneel down and say, God, I've sinned. Would you forgive me? Would you purge me? Wonder if there's something in your life today. You say, Brother Benny, there's something in my life. I'm just not as close to God as I'd like to be. There's something I need God to take out of my life. There's something I need God to work out. As we start singing, I want you to make your way to the altar. There's something about just stepping out. I want you to make your way to the altar. If there's something that you say, Brother Benny, I just want to give this to the Lord. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads in your presence, I am so grateful, Lord, that you're faithful. You tell us, God, that you're faithful even when we're not faithful, because you cannot deny who you are. I thank you for the group of people that are before me today. We're just like Isaiah of old. We're asking you, God, to purge us. We're asking you, Lord, to purify us. We're asking you, Lord, just to draw us closer and closer to you. Whatever it is in the lives of individuals today, whatever their past is, Lord, I'm so glad that you said that we could bring it to you and you would wipe the slate clean. Though our sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And God, I pray that you help every individual before me today that has something in their life that's not pleasing to you to just say, God, forgive me. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive. I ask you to grant forgiveness to this beautiful body of people, because, Lord, we know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, you'll not hear us. And we know, Lord, we can't be everything we ought to be for your honor and glory unless we're totally surrendered to you. So I pray you take things out of people's lives. Maybe it's individuals that you need to move out of individuals' lives. It's circumstances that you just need to move out of individuals' lives. I pray that you'll do that today for the group of people that stand before me. I pray that you'll help them to realize that if the Son sets you free indeed. And when the Lord has forgiven you, you're fully, faithfully, and forever forgiven. And today, God, the slate is clean, and Lord, they are forgiven, and may they walk in that, and may they claim that in Jesus' name. We love you, God. We exalt you. We praise you. We praise your wonderful name. For I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Folks, let's do what's scriptural. Remember, this is what is scriptural. Oh, clap your hands, sis. 50 years old, you told me, sis, and you've just started Bible college. You said, well, Brother Benny, if I 4 years from now, I'll be 54 years old. Let me tell you something, sis. If you quit Bible college, 4 years from now, you'll still be 54 years old. What I'm saying, you stay in there. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand at youth by a starry stream, but greater still is to fight life through and say in the end the dream is true. Young people, God's got a plan for your lives. You're world changers. You're going to turn this world upside down. There's no telling what God's going to do with your lives. Amen? There's no telling. You're world changers. God's going to... The Bible says this. Benny Tate didn't say this. The Bible says this. It says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, brother. Sis, God's going to do exploits through your life. God's going to do exploits through your life. Brother, God's going to do exploits through your lives. There is no telling what God's going to do. Amen? Amen. Hey, Bill, can I have just a few more minutes? Oh, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something, folks? And I'm almost done. I've got to go home after this. Let me tell you. In the Old Testament, sister, the Holy Spirit would come up on individuals for certain tasks. And after the task was over, he would leave. Amen. But listen, sis. He don't come up on us. He's in us. The power of the Holy Spirit, son, is in you. The power of the Holy Spirit, young people, is in you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? One day I'm going to get to heaven. I'll close with this. One day I'm going to get to heaven, and I'm going to see Noah. And I'm going to say, Noah, what was it like being on that boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high with all those animals? What was it like? I'm going to say to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was it like being in that fiery furnace and coming out and not even smelling like smoke? Well, you can't even go in the Waffle House and that happened, amen? I'm going to say to Daniel, what was it like being in that lion's den? And then, Miss Debbie, I'm going to start walking off. And one of those guys are going to say to me, Benny, what? Benny? I was, what? They're going to say, what was it like? What was it like having the Holy Spirit of God inside you every day? What was it like having God inside you to lead you and guide you and direct you and reveal things to you? What was it like? Folks, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. You're world changers. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. It's been my privilege.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.